Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by Cashfly at cachefly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Friday, January 14th, 2011. Tech News Today is brought to you by Ford, introducing the all-new 2012 Ford Focus Electric with voice-activated sync and My Ford Touch, featuring gas-free power, zero CO2 emissions, and battery management technology that lets you go the distance. Learn more at focuselectricpower.com and by MailRoute.info. MailRoute is a secure hosted service that provides enterprise-grade virus and spam filtering to companies of any size. Try it right now, absolutely free, at MailRoute.info. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
I'm Jason Howell.
And this is all of the tech news you need today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And maybe some that you don't.
We worked hard to dig up jewels of tech news for you.
Friday sometimes can be what's considered a slow news day.
Challenging.
Not this Friday. We're chock full of stuff.
No, we found stuff. It was a little touch and go there earlier in the day. But
will there be a show?
Thank goodness.
We might have to cancel the show today. Oh, no.
For U.S. Phew. District Judge Susan Ilston, she saved our top story
round
for
of
us.
Round of applause for Susan.
By doing nothing, actually.
No, she said, I can't rule.
Yeah. Most people say, I rule. Not U.S. District Judge Susan Ilston.
She said, confused about my jurisdiction in this case.
Actually, not going to rule. We're talking, of course, about Geo Hotz case. George Hotz being sued by Sony for posting a code to crack the PlayStation 3, which they say is a breach of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. They also say that it should be tried in California because Hotz received donations for the hack through PayPal, which is also based in California.
Right. Even though anyone in the whole world and have a PayPal account.
Exactly. And in the end, Judge Ilston said she would rule at an undisclosed time. Serious questions have been raised here. She says if everyone who has a PayPal account can be sued in California, then everyone in the world could be sued in California.
Well, you know, Sony also made another kind of BS claim that because Geo Hotz, as he's known, posted information on YouTube and via Twitter about cracking the code, and those companies are also based in Northern California, that she, you know, that this is the right geographical location for her to, it is her jurisdiction, but that's ridiculous too. We were talking before the show, it's like, well, does YouTube have server farms anywhere outside of Northern California? Quite possible.
Yeah, sure.
And anybody can upload anything to YouTube. Right. I mean, the geographical location of where the company headquarters are seems to be very irrelevant.
Especially in something like this.
Yeah.
George Hotz also went on a little show. Have you heard of Attack of the Show, Sarah?
Yeah, I used to host it.
Oh, right.
For 2 years.
I know that one.
I knew you might have heard of it.
Right.
Did an interview on that show yesterday and said, right now, still legally, you can go to my website and download my jailbreak for your PS3. And what it lets you do is install homebrew applications. And he says, actually, it cannot play pirated games right out of the box.
So what's Sony's problem? They're worried that what he has allowed folks to do is to be able.
Yeah. So he has cracked it so that then you can take his crack and then you would be able to modify it yourself with some signage and whatnot and be able to play pirated games. It's like the first step towards that. And they also, they just don't like anybody messing with their proprietary software.
What are they going to do when the PlayStation phone comes out and all of a sudden people can crack that?
Right.
And it's all legal.
And George Hotz brought that up. He's like, there's an exemption for jailbreaking your phone. Why does that not apply? And in fact,
it's a valid question.
That came up in the defense against the Xbox mod chips that ended up getting thrown out of court for a technicality, mostly because the U.S. Justice Department decided, you know what? I don't think we're going to be able to push this case through, so we're just going to withdraw. In this case, I don't think Sony's going to withdraw. So this is either going to be ruled on eventually by Judge Ilston and carried forth in California somehow, or she's going to say, you got to take him to New Jersey. Sorry. See you, folks.
I empathize with Susan in this case, and I can see her just saying, you know, I'd really like this off my plate.
Yeah.
Can you take it to Jersey?
This just gives me a headache, Sony. Really, why couldn't he do this? Okay, fine. Take it to Jersey.
Right.
The NPD Group published its December and annual reports for video games in 2010 earlier today. Said total game sales for the year were $18.58 billion. That's down from 2009's $19.66 billion. Said the loss can be attributed to both a 13% dip in console hardware spending as well as a 6% drop in the sale of new video game software year on year. However, there was some good news for Microsoft. It sold the most Xboxes it ever has in December, backing up Major Nelson's claim yesterday that they actually ran out and there's going to be tight supplies of Xboxes.
When you say Xbox sales, that also includes Kinect.
Yeah, well, it doesn't include Kinect, but it includes those bundles.
Uh-huh.
So the Kinect really drove the sales of the Xbox, definitely.
Well, you know, the Kinect has been a huge hit. This doesn't surprise me. It's sort of like a duh report to me.
Yeah, it's not surprising that Xbox has sold so well. However, what is surprising is even with those high December numbers for Microsoft, the hardware sales for the year went to Nintendo's DS system. Nintendo DS sold 8.5 million, and the Wii won the entire year at 7 million. For the month of December, Nintendo sold 2.5 million DSs and 2.3 million Wiis, which means the Nintendo won December, too. It just wasn't the biggest December Nintendo had ever had.
Do you think at least for the Wii, it has in part something to do with people just being more familiar with, ooh, it's a movement-based computing. This is fun.
Price point, too.
Maybe I went to my friend's house and played with the Kinect, and so we're going to get a Wii because it's all the same idea.
Because I want that Kinect, but that's $300, and the Nintendo Wii is cheaper.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to pick up one of those.
Yeah. Let's give it a shot.
It's more
cheaper one.
It's more gifty.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people were saying Nintendo needed to slash the price of the Wii this December if they were going to compete, and it turns out that
it's good that they held steady.
Not a problem. Also, good news for PC gaming. If you're a PC gamer, PC gaming grew 3% over its 2009 numbers, largely thanks to Blizzard's World of Warcraft Cataclysm expansion pack, the StarCraft sequel, StarCraft II Wings of Liberty, as well as Call of Duty Black Ops. That was the PC sales. And then on a separate note, Call of Duty Black Ops grabbed the top spot for console sales.
You know, it seems like as far as PC gaming goes, it just all has to do with the titles that come out in any given year.
Yeah,
more popular titles. More PC gamers.
PC gaming is almost becoming synonymous with Blizzard and Steam. Mm-hmm. If you like to play your games in Steam, or if you play World of Warcraft, StarCraft type stuff, mm-hmm. then you're gonna be doing a lot of PC gaming.
Right.
But otherwise, people are out. Team Fortress 2 on Steam.
Oui.
Tonight. Let's play. Apple is nixing their free iPad subs for print customers, according to a report on CNET from Erica Ogg. A number of European newspaper and magazine publishers have been contacted by Apple and informed that they will not be able to offer free subscriptions for the iPad editions for current print subscribers. That's a common thing on the web right now, is to say, hey, if you subscribe to the print version, give you a free subscription on the web. I get that through the Economist newspaper.
This is a real jerk move by Apple.
Well,
to no longer allow the publishers to do. I mean, they are really trying to kill print, aren't they?
They do not get along with newspapers. Uh-huh. They've also delayed their announcement with News Corp. They were supposed to have an announcement next week where Steve Jobs would get up on stage with Rupert Murdoch and mm-hmm. announce the new Daily,
The Modern Art Museum in San Francisco.
That has now been postponed, so obviously there's trouble in that paradise as well.
I would assume that that has to do with iOS 4.3 being pushed out to developers because the subscription model is part of that. And, you know, if they're getting early reports from testers saying, something seems wrong, that they're not going to have a big announcement about the Daily, which is
they could have run into some bug. That's a good point. The report says this will go into effect after April 1st, this ban on giving away free subscriptions. Why would Apple just not allow that the way they allow free apps?
Because Apple knows that newspapers, if they, you know, they know that no one is going to pay another, they're not going to pay twice mm-hmm. for the iPad edition of a newspaper. So they're just going to cancel their newspaper and they're just going to pay on the iPad.
And that way Apple gets to
keep
all the
money. Not everybody. But I mean, a lot of people who are forward thinking and are enjoying consuming stuff on their iPad are just going to do that. Because if you got to get rid of one version, you're going to get rid of the old archaic print version.
So
Apple knows that.
It's environmental.
Apple's like, well, why waste all this newsprint?
I think everyone knows that it's not environmental, but sure, I think some people could sleep better
at night. Why waste all this money printing dollars for newspapers to have and when we could have them?
I think Apple just knows that the modern person, at least in most cases, is going to say, well, okay, if I just have one copy, I'll just go with the iPad copy because it's the future.
Right. And then Apple gets all the money.
And Apple gets all the money, and the newspaper industry is already limping along as it is, and it's like they're just going to have to work it out.
So Apple's being green, but about money.
Yeah.
Right. Green as in greedy.
Greedy. Yeah.
All right. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening to Tech News Today as we wrap up your weekend. And thanks to Ford for helping us bring the show to you, as well as all of our special coverage of CES 2011 last week. Ford introduced the all-new 2012 Ford Focus Electric at CES. Mm-hmm. Voice-activated sync and My Ford Touch come on the Ford Focus Electric. It's an all-electric vehicle. If you haven't heard about it, it has no gasoline engine, powered by a lithium-ion battery with high-voltage capacity. You plug it in at home into your 120-volt outlet, or you can get a 240-volt outlet upgrade, makes it charge a little faster. Has regenerative braking, so it charges a little bit on the go, enables you to capture braking energy and store it for later use. Will offer a miles per charge that's competitive with other electric vehicles on the market and provides more than enough driving power. If you just need to go around town, you need to commute to work and back, it will get you there. And it may even be cheaper to run, depending on how electricity is in your area, especially if you charge at night. Often the electric rates are lower than running on gas. The all-new 2012 Ford Focus Electric features sync with My Ford Touch. You can respond to voice. It will respond to voice commands and touch controls for entertainment, for climate control, for sending text messages, for messing with your playlist, all that stuff we talk about, as well as battery management. You can ask the electric, hey, how you feeling? How you charged up while you're driving along? So if you decide, you know what, should I go to the In-N-Out Burger? Will I have enough electricity in the tank for that? And it'll tell you, no, you're way too fat, Merritt. Don't go. I have enough electricity to get you there, but you don't need another cheeseburger. It may not tell you that, but it will tell you how much charge is left. Sync understands more than 10,000 voice commands in total, so you can stay connected while keeping your eyes on the road and your hands on the wheel. To learn more, visit focuselectricpower.com. And thanks to Ford for sponsoring Tech News Today, as well as our CES 2011 coverage. Go visit them, focuselectricpower.com. Take a look. It's a pretty cool-looking car. On to Intel, Paul Otellini had a post-earnings call press conference where he said a lot of things that you would expect him to say. Oh, we're not worried about AMD's Fusion. No, we're not worried about the ARM architecture. One thing he did say was a little unusual, is that Intel would have the ability to put our low-power Intel processors running Windows 8 or next-generation Windows into phones. The reason he said that is because of Microsoft's move to support systems on a chip, specifically the ARM architecture. He says, hey, if they're going to support SoX, we'll put Windows 8 on the Intel chips and put them into phones, and you can have phones running full Windows 8. Is he just crazy?
Well, I don't understand why Intel and Microsoft wouldn't be on the same page about this. Is it just because Intel wants to be like, we're the more powerful company who can do more powerful things with smartphones?
In some ways, I think you're right. I think it's a brag.
It seems like it.
Like, we could put freaking Windows 8 on there if they support it on a SoC. They also made a big deal about how this is not new. Mm-hmm. Microsoft has supported other architectures. They're worried that people are going to think they're out of the game. There's a lot of people saying, wow, Microsoft running on ARM now.
Right.
This is bad news for Intel. And so they're trying to put up a brave face.
And they want to make it seem like, well, we can do this.
Yeah.
So we will.
We can do whatever we want.
Why wouldn't we want to have a more powerful phone, and why wouldn't you?
We're freaking Intel.
Otellini.
Yeah. Take that, NVIDIA. I'm Paul Otellini, and I'm not going to take it anymore. Anyway, he claimed running tablets on Intel architecture gave device makers maximum flexibility, and says by designing Atom-based tablets, they have the opportunity to run multiple OSs. I think that's really what he was going after, is saying, you know what, we have flexibility. Mm-hmm. If you're on the Intel platform, you can choose whatever you want. We'll be able to run this on Atom too. Don't forget that. But it is somewhat of a defensive posture. Speaking of ARM architecture, ARM Devices is reporting that on very high authority from someone at Google, that an ARM-powered Google TV platform is confirmed and coming soon.
Now, presumably this would lower the cost of Google TV.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if they didn't have to have a full chip, they could use an ARM architecture. It'd be power efficient, be a more low power system. It'd be a lower cost technology.
Because, you know, we were talking on, I guess it was Twit or TNT when we were at CES. It's like, you know, is Google TV out of the running? And we said, well, no, it's got a ways to go, but it's certainly not out of the running. I mean, if Google TV wants to be more mainstream, a lot of people that would be considered a mainstream consumer audience doesn't really care about what kind of power is being used, but they certainly care if the price drops half.
Yeah, exactly. There's two things, right? They care about the programming. So mm-hmm. there's a perception that Google TV doesn't work very well because the Chrome browser is blocked by the major broadcast networks.
Right.
Frankly, that puts them on par with a Boxy or even a Roku, because Roku doesn't even have a browser and Boxy is blocked by Hulu as well. So, that perception is a little weird. It's like, well, they're not really different from anybody else. But the other thing is, I'm going to spend $300 to get a Logitech review. That's a lot of money. I could get the Apple TV for $99 or the Roku for $60.
Right.
Now, if Google TV were $60, then I think we'd have a whole different conversation.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. I mean, $300 for a Google TV that hasn't gotten, like, the most pristine reviews yet. Come on, let's be honest. Who's gonna buy that one.
I don't love it.
No, you don't.
I don't even like it.
No, you don't.
I have it in the bedroom. We've been using it. It works okay.
You keep saying, well, we'll see.
Well, I'm waiting until the end of January to see if the Android Marketplace comes on.
Sure.
If I can play some games on it and do a few more things with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it doesn't treat with my DirecTV signal very well. So the whole integration of your television into it is not working for me. And that's another of its big advantages, supposedly. But the Netflix works great on it. And the picture looks good, and it's you know, the remote is gargantuan, but it's easy to use. So if they had something else to push it over the top, I think it would be a great platform.
Like a $60 price point. You already bought it.
Too late for me, but not for you. VP8 decoder has been implemented in Flash. VP8, of course, another name for the WebM technology. That's what Google renamed the video technology. That is the technology that Google has said they are going to back in Chrome for the HTML5 video tag versus H.264. They're not going to support H.264. Ralph Howard has been posting on Twitter about work he's done on WebM, decoding the work to compile by the libvpx source code. Compiling the libvpx source code using Adobe's Alchemy technology. Alchemy is a research project. And he has been able to use an action script to allow you to have native WebM support in a Flash container. What all that means, if you're like, I don't know what you just said.
I don't know what you just said.
Is that you would be able to have WebM easily in Flash. Now, Adobe's going to bring WebM support to Flash anyway, but what Ralph's showing is I can do it right now. It is apparently a very slow, though, which is not ideal.
No, it certainly isn't.
But something worth noting. At the same time, Google has posted on the Chromium blog a clarification of their H.264 stance. It's really just them saying all the things they said before with more words.
It's a long blog post.
Yeah.
But worth reading. I mean, there's so how many blog posts have now been written on what Google meant by this?
Yeah, it is.
And, you know, what's
the possible
open
implications other formats.
I mean, this is exactly what they should be doing, is clarifying as much as possible.
I think Google may have underestimated how much people would care about this. I misspoke. I called Opera neutral, but Opera actually does not support H.264 natively. They are on the side with Firefox and now Chrome on the WebM Theora side of things, whereas Safari and IE9 are on the other side supporting H.264. And one thing that confuses even me in this case was the fact that support for the video tag in HTML5 is different than the browser can play it. You can play H.264 videos in Firefox, no problem.
Right.
Because it has a plugin to do it.
Yeah.
But what we're talking about is in HTML5, you don't need a plugin. That lowers the footprint of your browser, and it makes things nice and streamlined. Like an image tag is able to call a GIF or a JPEG and put an image on your page, you'd be able to call a video, and it would just automatically be there. No Flash container,
right.
No plugin required.
Just a video tag.
It's just right there. And that's what they're fighting over, is what the default version of that should be. Now, they could say, like with GIF and JPEG and the image tag, we'll support both. And that's what Chrome was doing until now. And so that's what's causing the big uproar, is they're now saying, you know what, we're going to pick a side. MG Siegler over at the TechCrunch blog has a very good analysis of this response from Google, and he basically thinks they're handing the keys of web videos back to Flash. The argument running that IE and Safari together make up the bulk of browsing. Google throwing in with Firefox and Opera is not enough to force all of the websites out there to drop H.264 and go and put their videos up only in WebM, because then they'd be losing out on IE support.
Right.
So what's going to happen is websites are going to encode into H.264 and then use Flash for any browser that doesn't support H.264 in video. They're just browser detect and give you different code. I think Google is gambling here. I think Google is going to try to convince Apple through pressure from YouTube to support WebM in Safari, particularly the mobile version of Safari. Yeah.
It's a toughie.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Apple doesn't like to be challenged in this way.
Apple does not like that. And the only thing that Google has on their side is they went so far as to actually support H.264 specifically for Apple. They decided to re-encode every YouTube video in H.264 so that YouTube would work on iOS.
Right. That's why I'm watching all those YouTube videos on my iPad all the time.
So if they could use that somehow and say, look, we have this good relationship on this, just support WebM, and then it'll be seamless. All our old H.264 videos will stay there. They'll still use. But if you support WebM, then it helps us with our infrastructure costs, like that guy was talking about on ZDNet yesterday.
This all seems very logical to me. You know, when I hear what Google is proposing, it makes sense to me. But Apple doesn't really care about Google's infrastructure costs.
Yeah.
Apple cares about Apple. Always has.
And frankly, they've already said, we don't care about Flash.
Yes, they sure have.
So it's not, you know, I mean, I guess they could say we don't care about YouTube, too.
That's stupid.
I think that is almost too stupid for Apple to do.
I do, too.
And I think that's what Google is banking on, is they'll be able to say, you know what? Your folks already don't get Flash. And if you join with WebM, we're going to push a lot of websites to not use Flash.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what MG's saying in the TechCrunch article, which is basically, if it stays the way it is, Safari and IE9, then everybody is going to be using Flash. You still got IE out there, though, and that's a tough one to surmount.
I don't know. I'm not using it.
You're not
a lot
using,
of people are.
You're not using Chrome?
I'm not.
You're not using IE.
Right.
Yeah. I was like, wait, I thought you did.
No, I'm a big Chrome user.
The upshot is, this is not going to affect you as a regular user at all because of plugins and Flash. Unless somebody like Apple just says no.
Yeah.
And Google says, fine, we're going to put YouTube in WebM. Do you want to not support WebM?
Then your iOS experience is going to be a lot crappier.
Luck. Yeah. Finally, today, new research suggests that clear screens and easily read fonts of e-readers make your brain lazy.
You
actually get up, lazy brain.
E-readers are the real housewives of the publishing consumption world.
You actually absorb less and remember less of the information you read on an e-reader because it's so clean and clear that you actually remember things more when you have to work a little harder to read them.
That I don't think that this is so ridiculous because, you know, it's like reading a paragraph and you're kind of tired and you go, you know what? I feel like I didn't absorb that just now, and rereading it, and then it's like you've imprinted it in your mind twice. There must be some sort of subconscious retention of information when it's that much harder, and you've kind of got to strain your eyes that much more, even if you don't realize that that's what you're doing.
Curtis B says, so my messy handwriting makes me smarter?
Exactly.
It makes others smarter when they have to read it.
Right, because they've really got to think about what they're reading.
I wish we had Dr. Kiki on the show today, because it's a neuroscience issue, and neuroscientist Jonah Lehrer said he found he was less likely to recall information he read on his Kindle e-reader, so he started thinking about it. And he wrote on his frontal cortex blog, there are two ways of reading. You can use the brain's ventral pathway, through which the brain recognizes words and understands their individual meaning, mm-hmm. or the dorsal stream, which activates itself when we have to focus on an obscure word. When we're using the ventral pathway, have you ever had that feeling where you're reading something and then you're like, wait a minute, I don't remember what I just read?
Absolutely.
He's like, that happens more easily.
That was high school.
When you've got easy reading. But when you're having to focus, when you're forced to pay attention, then you're actually able to remember that stuff because basically your brain's working harder.
I wonder if...
He says the slight cognitive friction of having to decipher the words wakes us up, makes us pay attention.
So that's the trade-off is it ruins our eyes, but we get that information.
Yeah.
That much more readily.
We'll go blind and have to use audiobooks.
But we'll be smart.
Yeah. And then we'll have to have a lot of background noise, so we pay attention to the audiobooks. They did a study funded by Princeton University, published in the Cognition Journal, did find that people are better at retaining information written in a less fluent font. They asked 28 participants aged 18 to 40 to learn a set of facts about three fictional species of alien. I would have liked to take part in that study, which were written in different fonts. Those who read the facts in an easy-to-read Arial pure black font retained 14% less information than those who were given text written in Comic Sans.
Oh, come on.
Or Bodoni.
Because the Comic Sans was so distractingly awful.
Yes. Yeah.
Ugh, I hate the look of this.
But Comic Sans makes you smarter.
Well.
Who would have thought?
Listen up, Kindle.
Yeah.
Got some work to do.
Better
Comic
start.
Sans Comic or Sans no mode. One's paying attention.
Comic Sans support.
No, they call it smart mode. Memory mode.
All right, this episode of Tech News Today is also brought to you by MailRoute. They take away the spam from your email. It's a secure hosted service that filters viruses and spam for companies of any size, one user or 50,000 users. All you have to do is edit your MX record. Now, apparently a couple people have pointed out the last couple episodes I've said MMX record. I didn't even realize I was saying that.
Why were you saying that?
So you just edit your MMR record. Take that BMX record, you edit it all
your
up.
Your IPO record.
No, it just goes to show. I did edit my MX record so that my mail goes through MailRoute and comes back spam-free, and I'm apparently senile. So even some senile old man like me can make use of MailRoute. Of course you can. Check it out, MailRoute.info, created by, and now I'm going to forget
MX.
The creator's name. Oh. It was not created by MX. It was created by Mr. Johnson. He used to work at Microsoft, and it filters out all the spam and sends it back to you. I'm using acedetect@sebrilliant.com as an email address that I haven't been able to use for 10 years. Small business accounts start at $2 per user per month for 10 users. And because of demand from the Twit Army, they now offer a single user account, less than $30 per user per year for single users. Check it out. Visit mailroute.info for the free trial and more information. And we thank them for their support of Tech News Today. Tell them you support us. Go visit mailroute.info right now. Time for the news views. Bias. Obviously, they are Apple fanboys. They use an apple in their news fuse.
Boy, TNT has really gone downhill.
Moco Space, a mobile social network, and Briabi Media, a mobile marketing agency, say 37% of phone users they polled are able to recall brands they've seen advertised on their phones, saying that, hey, that mobile advertising has a much higher recall rate than other advertising. All Things D, however, pointed out an important caveat. Poll respondents were apparently most likely to remember seeing ads for mobile carriers. And All Things D said maybe they're just seeing the logo on their phones, and that's what they remember. We should tease that out of the data.
Verizon. Yeah.
AT&T. Apple. Google.
I remember that.
Google was advertising.
Apple was the bite out of it. It was a close race, but Windows Phone has been surpassed by none other than Windows 98. Windows 98 has about 0.04% worldwide OS market share, according to Net Market Share, and secured about 0.019% of all traffic on Chitika's ad network at the beginning of January. By contrast, Windows Phone 7 captured a little less than 0.01% market share. Plus, Windows 98 runs really snappy on a 1 gigahertz Snapdragon.
Maybe Paul Otellini said Windows 8, but he meant Windows 98.
I think that's what he meant.
Would run his next phone.
We retract our earlier statements from the show. Windows 98 wins again.
On your next phone. DigiTimes reports all these new tablets coming out might put a strain on display makers. iSupply says the rush for everyone to get into the iPad killer game will generate both shortages and excess inventories as display makers attempt to satisfy booming demand from their tablet customers. Global tablet shipments are expected to more than triple in 2011, rising to 57.6 million units, up from 17.1 million in 2010. You get shortages and excesses because some stuff doesn't sell as well as you thought it was, and you overproduce, and it's hard to estimate. It's a volatile market.
The Nintendo 3DS reportedly has a very good 3D screen that doesn't require glasses. Separately, it comes with two cameras for taking 3D pictures. So, why not video? Aha! Why not indeed? Nintendo president Satoru Iwata used few words to set off a little wave of sighs among the handful of 3D enthusiasts out there. Maybe two handfuls. In an interview, he stated, I think it will be fun if we're able to include video recording capabilities with future updates. So everyone's like, video recording capability for future updates coming soon.
It's totally coming because he said it would be fun. And he loves fun.
Fun impossible and it's happening.
That man knows fun. How about a couple of totally wild music rumors to brighten your day on top of that?
Yes. Sure.
Gizmo Fusion spotted a setting menu option in Android Gingerbread that allows you to sync music. And they've woven that into speculation that Google would not only come out with an iTunes competitor, but also a music store. Meanwhile, the New York Post is blasting out that Spotify has finally coming to the U.S. Has finally coming. They wrote it better than I said it. Has finally struck a deal to come to the U.S. after striking a deal with Sony. Spotify says, we have nothing to confirm. And the New York Post said, see!
That's exactly what they would say.
Spotify is like Duke Nukem.
Yes.
We're
for,
coming.
For the United States, it is.
No comment. We're coming. Don't worry about it.
Spotify is our Hulu. In Europe, they're like, when do we get it?
Yeah. That's coming. Yeah. Don't worry about it. Stop talking.
Or Netflix.
The NBCU Comcast deal has the other broadcast worried about one provision regarding online video. The FCC could require Comcast to offer NBC programming to any online video service that has reached a similar deal for content from at least one of NBC's competitors. Lobbyists for both Disney and News Corp, along with Time Warner, Chief Executive Jeff Bukes, fear such conditions could undermine their own efforts to profit from the nascent online video industry.
Right, because they never get an exclusive on anything because they're like, well, NBC's everywhere now.
Bunch of whiners.
RIM plans to launch a cloud service, and according to Vice President Pete DeVigny, the service offered by RIM directly won't cover as many types of email servers as its software is capable of supporting, leaving room for partners. DeVigny said, quote, there will be other partners that choose to connect to other mail server providers, and they may offer a hosted service on their own. In other words, what he's saying is RIM could manage cloud support for non-BlackBerry devices.
That's interesting.
So you could get, that's a good move for RIM. Maybe they'll just become a service provider.
Okay.
BlackBerry on your iPhone.
Ooh. Ooh.
Uh-huh. Mm. Uh-huh. Think about that one.
All right. All right. I don't want to think about it anymore because I have something very exciting to talk about.
All right, very good.
Are we all ready?
I'm ready.
All right, put down your lunch and listen to me. Apple's App Store is about to hit 10 billion downloads, and in honor of the achievement, Apple said it will award its 10 billionth customer with a $10,000 iTunes gift card, which is, you know, that'll buy you a lot of apps. Apple has an App Store download counter on its website. So as of right now, it is registered approximately 9,573,589,000.
Friday.
Yeah, why isn't that 8 moving?
January 14th.
It's moving so fast
I called BS.
That's true.
Apple.
Yeah. The final 8 in the moving countdown, or the final digit in the moving countdown is just stuck on 8.
Yeah. Hmm.
Maybe that's what happens when you get into the billions.
Yeah, actually, all the numbers moving fast blur together as an 8. Haven't you ever noticed that on a calculator? All of the numbers look like 8s?
But it doesn't really work that way with graphics.
Yeah, yeah.
The 8 is not true. All of the other numbers combined.
There should be a little flapping.
Time for our last story. Out in Johannesburg, criminals are raiding the city's traffic signals, the traffic lights, for the SIM chips that allow them to be monitored and reprogrammed using the phone network. It's pretty cool. They've got traffic lights that can be, you know, remotely controlled. But what's happening is the criminals steal the SIM chips and then put them in their phones and make free calls.
So there are a lot of phone calls to the police department saying, this traffic light is out.
Yeah, and it's a free call.
What do you mean, where did I get the SIM chip? Never you mind.
Why are you calling us anonymously? Well,
traffic light's out.
Never you mind.
It's a big jam.
You probably need to put another SIM chip in there because I need another phone for my brother.
Gotta go. Got people to call.
Yeah.
Lights out.
Long distance calls to make.
That's not funny because I'm sure it's causing a lot of confusion and congestion, but it's kind of funny.
It's not funny at all.
No.
I don't even know why you were laughing. On to the calendar.
All right. Anonymous is urging global protests January 15th, which is tomorrow. unless you're watching it tomorrow.
These are IRL protests.
So what, do we get out onto the streets in Petaluma and just protest?
Anonymous told us to.
These are planned for major cities. So Petaluma.
Obviously. Top five. Maybe New York.
The quote is, "The internet needs champions and we will rise. We are anonymous and so are you. Stand up and fight. Every city, everywhere."
Except that in IRL, you're not anonymous. It's that's very true. Obvious who you are.
Wear a mask. Wear one of those Guy Fawkes masks. Yeah.
Well, that's fun. Let's do that tomorrow. I don't have anything better to do on a Saturday.
When I first read this, I was like, I'm going to wear a Guy Fawkes mask on the show that day. And then they had it on a Saturday.
Bummer.
Yeah.
Well, we'll push the protest to Monday. I'm still mad.
I'll have my own protest.
We can actually protest that the protest is on Saturday.
I'm so busy on Saturday. Can we have it another day?
I'm going wine tasting, Lou. What's there to protest? Best day ever.
You're out there protesting in the wine country alone.
I hate this wine.
I'm anonymous. Arr. Sarah, you're not wearing a mask.
Oh, well, never mind.
I'm drunk.
Change my name. question, is the Motorola Atrix 4G coming to AT&T on March 1st?
Yes, at least if you believe the leaks. Mm. Android Central has a leak.
Let's believe it.
Yeah.
Sounds cool. March 1st. Big day. There's a report that the first Windows 7 service pack has been sent to OEMs. We don't actually know what's in the service pack. I don't anyway. Do you guys know?
Mm-mm. I have not memorized what's in the service pack, but it is, you know, a lot of companies wait until the first service pack to figure out whether they're going to buy a new operating system like Windows 7. Sure. So this is a big milestone.
Yeah. RIM is going to ship 1 million Playbook tablets in the first quarter of 2011, says RIM.
Yes. according to RIM.
1 million, a big number.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, the Playbook went over really well at CES. I don't think this is out of the realm of possibility.
BlackBerry users are passionate users.
It's aggressive. Very true. And, you know, there's some supposition in an email later about this that could push it towards the million. We'll save that, though.
Yeah.
Let's go to the voicemails. 260-TNT-SHOW is the number to call if you would like to have your voicemail played on the show. Our first one comes from our brother to the north.
Hi, Tom and the TNT crew. This is Arun from Ottawa in Canada. I just wanted to update you about the Amber Alert. We've had that for on Facebook for, I think, it's a couple months already. So for a change, instead of getting some service in the U.S. first and we salivating up here in Canada, it's probably a good service we've got here first before you have it in the
Forget
in the
thinking
US.
Of the children. That's Aaron fun. Just jumps Bye-bye. Immediately to bragging about how they had it
Canada
first.
Canada was first.
So Canadian. They're so rude up there.
Oh, yeah. They're always pushing their agendas.
So loud with their love of their weird football.
Maple leaves everywhere. Gosh, cut it out with the maple leaves.
All right. On to our second caller, who is from Colorado.
Oh, boy.
You know
Rockies.
How they are. And has a theory about who should buy MySpace.
Ooh.
Hey, TNT crew. This is Eric from Colorado. In your discussion yesterday about selling MySpace, I'm a little surprised no one brought up Apple. Apple's been trying to do social networking with Pink for some time and failing miserably. I think MySpace might actually have some social technology they could use. Not to mention a number of developers that actually understand social in a way that Apple's developers don't seem to. Thanks. Love the show.
Well, one could argue that Ping, which is Apple's foray into social networking, has not been a wild success.
One could argue that.
Easily.
Very successfully, yes.
Right. However, the technology that MySpace has could be rebuilt by a lot of other companies that already haven't rebuilt it.
And as cheap as MySpace might go for, I don't know that it's an act hire. And I don't see the MySpace culture fitting into the Apple culture.
I think Steve Jobs wouldn't buy a company so ugly, period. Even if it was the best.
I totally get what Eric's going for here, which is like, hey, Apple needs some social networking. MySpace is up for sale. Like Apple, on paper, maybe it makes sense, but culturally, I just don't see it fitting.
Ping's failure, I mean, Apple will just go, okay, we learned something, we'll do it again.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not going to buy MySpace.
They won't even say we learned something. They'll say,
they'll think it quietly to themselves.
Is now even more perfect.
Right. They'll high-five each other in the hallway, and they'll think quietly about Ping's failure. But it won't be said audibly, that's for sure.
But Eric's right, music and music, so, I mean, I don't know. I still don't think so.
I don't think so. But it's an interesting theory.
D-Dog, a.k.a. Derek, writes in, says, "Hey, Tom, Jason, Sarah, Derek, Kiki, Becky, and the rest of the TNT crew. In response to yesterday's discussion in regards to mobile ad impressions, those mobile impressions should represent both ad impressions on mobile apps and on mobile WAP sites." Those are the websites built specifically for mobile. "When it comes to trusted sources, ComScore would be among the more reliable sources, as Nielsen is with broadcast TV. The problem with individual mobile ad networks is that they're all fragments of the total market, each taking only a slice of the total mobile world. Some focus more on mobile websites, others concentrate on those tier C free apps, while others may only do mobile video ads. Nowadays, a lot of the premium apps do their own in-app advertising. AdMob and Quattro have been bought by Google and Apple respectively and may skew in favor of one over another. So you really need to look at them as a whole to get a true picture of things. But yeah, in my own opinion," says D-Dog, "it's no surprise that Android will continue to take the majority of mobile impressions as we see more phones, tablets, and devices running on the Android platform." Plus, a lot of people wrote in and said, "Hey, you know what? Angry Birds, one of the most popular apps on both platforms, is free and ad-supported on Android, but costs money on iOS. You can get a free trial version on iOS, but that's not the super popular one."
It just goes to show why every time you hear a report about ad numbers on mobile networks, you have to take all of this stuff into consideration, that all the reports are skewed for one reason or another, and that's just a big headache.
Think before you...
Before you count.
Yes. What she said. That's what she said.
Should she also read another email?
Why not?
Okay. "Hi, Tom, Becky, Sarah, and Jason. This is Sergio from Houston. Hello, Sergio. I was listening to Thursday's show, and you mentioned a new 4G tablet coming to Sprint. Well, my brother's sister's cousin's uncle said that it might be the BlackBerry Playbook that is going to be the first big 4G tablet. Actually, it's a friend of mine who knows somebody who tests new projects for Sprint who told me this. Not sure if it makes it any more reliable, but that would be interesting to see. What do you guys think?"
Sergio, you can't take away our brother's sister's cousin's uncle joke by writing it in your own email. That leaves us with nothing to mock you with.
I know.
But
way to go, Sergio.
It's interesting. I mean, if this turns out to be true... That I don't know how that fits in with David Blaine, though.
If this turns out to be true, Sergio needs to give us more rumors on a regular basis, because his contact knows what they're talking about.
We need to
hire
him as a stringer.
So, Sergio...
All right, this is your big test, Sergio.
You better be right.
A bunch of people in the chat room are pointing out that you can get a paid version of Angry Birds on Android that doesn't have ads. So that kind of makes that a wash.
Mm. Okay.
I don't know which one's more popular there, but you can do both on both, so screw that.
So whatever.
I guess the ad-supported one is probably more popular.
Think before you count.
That'd be my guess.
Well, on iOS,
I didn't even know that there was a paid version.
On iOS, the paid version is more popular.
Yeah.
So. Totally.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for hanging with us on a Friday. We will be back Monday with an all-new episode and all-new tech stories. You can find us on the web, twit.tv/TNT, and you can email us, tnt@twit.tv. You can also give us a call. Leave us a voicemail. Please do. 260-TNT-SHOW. We will make it so you know all the tech news once again on Monday. See you then.
All right. Y'all ready?
Y'all ready for this?
That was good.
Thanks.
Take the show on the road.
A howl boxer.
What? I can get jiggy.
No, obviously you can't.